Of the thousands of shipwrecks that fill the Great Lakes, most people can name only one, the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's the last and the largest ship ever lost on the lakes. This week marks 40 years since the Fitzgerald and its 29 crew members went down in Lake Superior. But even this many years later, the story still captivates the public's imagination. Robert Rafferty wasn't even supposed to be on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The ship's usual cook didn't want to make the journey. His replacement got bleeding ulcers at the last minute. So Rafferty joined the crew. His daughter, Pam Johnson, says he'd sailed all over the world.
Bombay, India, Alexandria, Egypt. I mean, he's just been all over the place, but his love was the Great Lakes.
Johnson remembers her dad as a jolly man who loved pulling pranks and baking.
Good baker. He spent a lot of times, winter times, going to school, and we'd come home, we get to eat all that stuff, his French pastries and everything.
In November of 1975, the shipping season was just about to wrap up. Robert Rafferty was heading home to Toledo, Ohio for the winter.
He sent a postcard to my mom, should be home by the 8th or 9th, however, nothing is certain. That's the last we heard.
On November 9th, the Edmund Fitzgerald left Superior, Wisconsin. At 729 feet long, it was one of the largest ships on the Great Lakes at that time. Its cargo, iron ore pellets, bound for Detroit's industrial Zug Island.
The cargo weighed 26,116 tons.
Steve Morozek is a manager at the Dawson Great Lakes Museum on Detroit's Belle Isle. An exhibit there lays out the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's actually the story of two ships. As the Edmund Fitzgerald headed out into Lake Superior, it was joined by another freighter, the Arthur Anderson. Morozek says most of what we know about the Fitzgerald's last days comes from radio communications between Fitzgerald Captain Ernest McSorley and the Anderson's captain, Bernie Cooper. The two ships knew they were headed out into bad weather, though exactly how bad didn't become clear until later. Morozek says that by the afternoon on the 10th, the Fitzgerald was in trouble.
We do know that the ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, lost its radar, was knocked out. So the Arthur Anderson, which was following close behind it, was relaying course information to McSorley on the Fitz.
Both ships were trying to get to Whitefish Bay. It sits just to the west of Sault Ste. Marie and the Sioux Locks. Whitefish Bay meant safety from the storm churning over Lake Superior. That was battering ships with gale-force winds and waves over 30 feet high. Around 7 o'clock that evening, Morozek says the two ships hit a snow squall.
And what the snow squall did is it created clutter on the radar screen. They couldn't see anything. And then when it dissipated, there was no longer any radar contact where the Fitzgerald was.
On the Anderson, Captain Cooper alerted the Coast Guard. He then radioed other ships in the area to find out if any of them had seen the Fitzgerald come into Whitefish Bay. None had.
So at that particular point, Cooper went back, contacted the Coast Guard, and declared an emergency. The Edmund Fitzgerald is missing.
That's Captain Cooper talking to the Coast Guard about his last contact with the Fitzgerald.
The last time I talked with him, he said he was holding his own, and that's the last time I lost contact after that.
When it became clear that the Fitzgerald had likely sunk, the Coast Guard had no way to launch its own rescue. So it asked other ships in Whitefish Bay to go back out into Lake Superior and do that. Only two agreed.
And both the Anderson and the William Clay Ford went out into the storm to look for possible survivors. Nothing was ever found. There was no boat there, no crew members, nothing.
Part of the lingering mystery surrounding the Edmund Fitzgerald is how quickly it sank and what exactly caused it to go down. Morozek says there are several competing theories, but since the boat lies in two large pieces at the bottom of Lake Superior, we'll likely never know for sure. I'm Sarah Swick, Michigan Radio News.
They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters.